Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lane. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis, podcast episode number 130, is brought to you by CareerWonder.com. The ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Well, the fourth and final Grand Slam of 2018 is now in the books. This was certainly an exciting, historic, and, well, drama-filled U.S. Open. Congratulations to Naomi Osaka for capturing her first major and becoming the first Japanese player to win a Grand Slam singles title. And of course to Novak Djokovic for winning his third U.S. Open and 14th Grand Slam singles title overall, tying him with the great Pete Sampras. By now, everyone is aware of the events and controversy surrounding the women's final. All I will say about it at this time is that it was a real shame and huge disappointment for women's tennis. What was perfectly teed up as a win-win, whether Osaka or Serena won, unfortunately deteriorated into the embarrassment for the sport as witnessed by tens of millions by now. There is enough culpability to go around, so there's no sense pointing fingers. Clearly, the stewards of tennis have a lot to discuss and many issues to resolve, or at the very least improve upon, in the weeks and months ahead. In any case, moving on. So as far as the newest Grand Slam singles champion goes, Osaka displayed an awesome combination of athleticism, power, precision, maturity, and mental toughness beyond her years in her straight set victory over Serena. The 20-year-old outplayed Serena in virtually every aspect of the game. Serves, ground strokes, power shots, pressure shots, as well as movement and defense, which is where I thought she had the biggest edge over Serena. In podcast episode number 125, I talked about how a player's ability to play defense is often the difference maker. Well, this was one of the primary reasons why Osaka was one of my long shot picks to win the U.S. Open. Osaka is one of the few players who has the ability to chase down and absorb powerful and penetrating shots and return them with interest. Osaka's ability to play defense and transition immediately to offense was the main difference in the final. Osaka is now and will forever be a Grand Slam singles champion. Hopefully, this will be the first of many majors and other big titles for her moving forward. As I talked about in podcast episode number 127, Osaka possesses the athleticism and firepower to beat anyone on any given day. For her, it seems to come down to whether she approaches each match with the willingness to play enough defense to complement her overpowering offense. It is jaw-dropping when it's on full display, as it was at the US Open and earlier this year at Indian Wells. Consistency of mindset and intensity will be key for Osaka moving forward. Regardless, huge props to Osaka. For Serena, despite the controversy and loss in the final, a positive takeaway was that she made it to a second consecutive major final despite not yet reaching her desired level of physical fitness and conditioning. You know, it's scary to imagine how good her tennis can be once she's able to reach her fitness and conditioning goals. If the message to the rest of the field was not clear earlier this summer when she reached the final at Wimbledon, it should be loud and clear now after this US Open. The bottom line is that Serena, who will celebrate her 37th birthday in a couple of weeks, has no plans to ride off into the sunset anytime soon. She will continue to be a big part of every conversation at the majors and other big tournaments for the foreseeable future. For Djokovic, he has now won two consecutive majors and appears poised to return to dominant form. Djokovic in top form would be unstoppable at this point in my view. Now, as I talked about in podcast episode 1, Djokovic's two greatest rivals, Federer and Nadal, are on the back half of their phenomenal careers, despite their recent resurgence. Federer suffered a surprising defeat in the fourth round at the hands of John Millman, a 29-year-old journeyman player who had never been ranked higher than 49th. And yes, the playing conditions were pretty brutal throughout most of this US Open. In fact, I can't recall ever seeing all three players, Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, as physically challenged as they were at various junctures throughout this tournament. But the reality is, Federer is 37 years old and has not looked like himself since winning the Australian Open in January. Is Father Time finally tapping Federer on the shoulder? Possibly, but hopefully not yet. As for Nadal, it's often hold your breath and hope he stays healthy because of his relentless and physically punishing style of play. You know, Nadal came into the U.S. Open well-rested and playing well. He was my pick to win this U.S. Open, but he retired from his semifinal match versus Del Potro due to a knee injury. As for Andy Murray, it's too early in his return from injury to gauge whether he will be able to regain his top form in the near future. As for the next-gen group, well, they fell short yet again of making a deep run at a major. Sasha Zverev, Shapovalov, Kyrgios, and we can include 20-year-old Tsitsipas as well, none of them made it out of the first week of the tournament. On a related note, 25-year-old and former next-gen star Dominic Thiem had an excellent tournament, not so much for getting to the quarterfinals, but in how he battled Nadal for 5 hours before finally succumbing to the 17-time major champion. I have no doubt Thiem gained a lot of new fans and even greater respect for his efforts in the epic quarterfinal. But more importantly, Thiem exhibited a more mature game than we had seen up to this point. Thiem is a top three player on clay and typically plays from deep behind the baseline. But on faster surfaces, that style is not anywhere as effective. And Nadal can certainly attest to that, as he played from a similar deep court position on hard courts early on in his career before realizing he needed to make an adjustment if he was serious about winning on these on surfaces faster than clay. Throughout the U.S. Open, Thiem showed a willingness and exceptional ability to play from closer to the baseline and shorten points. This was certainly noticed by his competitors and one of the main factors for his deep run at the U.S. Open. Now, so even though Thiem lost the quarterfinal match to Nadal, I believe Thiem can draw on the experience of this match moving forward and be a top contender to win on any surface. All in all, if the 2018 Grand Slams were any indication of what we can expect in 2019, then strap on the seatbelts because we may be in for a wild ride in 2019 on both tours. I anticipate we will see a very heightened sense of urgency to win by the season champions collide with that of the new champions and young upstarts. Of course, we'll have to wait until the Australian Open in January, but 2019 will be upon us before we know it. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.